in 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings chapter number 7. This chapter is literally filled with a whole lot of things that we can talk about, but and lessons we can learn, and we may briefly mention some of those as we go, but there's a lot we'll not be able to expound upon today. But a thought that I have, and I have a lot of things run through my head, a lot of things in my heart I'd like to share with you, but I want to share this today. I feel it necessary and needful, and pray that God would take it and use it for His glory. And I pray that God will touch us and help us in sharing this. 2 Kings chapter number 7. Stand please while I read the word of God. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Now I want you to pay close attention to what he said. "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." Now, if you would please look in verse number 16. "And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord." And there's that phrase, the word of the Lord again. Now I want to speak on this subject today. God's word is sure. God's word is sure. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus, and I thank you today for the privilege to pray. I thank you for the singing's gone on, the songs have been sung, the messages have been great in those songs, and spoke to our hearts, and we worship. And Father, thought about your greatness and how holy you are, how unworthy we are, and all the praise deserves to go to you. So we today bow our heads, humble our hearts, and say glory be to the Lamb of God. And worthy is the Lamb. And we as unworthy creatures receive grace and mercy, and we're thankful for that. I pray today for those who could not come, who wanted to come. And Father, I pray you'd help them. Some are sick, some providentially hindered in other ways. And I pray, God, you'd help them and encourage their hearts. And I pray even right now, they'll know that the church is thinking about them. And I pray for them. Then I pray, God, you'd help folk today that are here in the house of God. You know every heart, every individual. Some here that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I pray today be the day that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, bring real conviction, draw them to Jesus. And I realize today, Father, that we cannot make anybody get saved, and we cannot make it real to them. And we're unable, God, to really do what needs to be done in their hearts. But we want to be faithful to the word of God, preach as you'd have us preach, and pray the Holy Spirit take it and speak to hearts, bring conviction, draw to Jesus, and encourage every heart, those who are facing looks like human impossibilities. I pray today that our hearts will be encouraged as we look and see the surety of the word of God. I thank you and praise you now for what you do. Help us preach, and we'll praise you. I plead the blood of Jesus, claim the victory in him. In his name and for his glory we pray, amen and amen. I'm glad for the word of God that we have today. The word of God is sure. And let me say today, it is sure in everything that he says. And let's just say this. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest." Ain't no question about that. God said, if you come, I will. And the word of God is sure. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yeah, I believe that. He said, if you would, he would. And I believe that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's in context of who will confess with their mouth, believe in their heart, and he will save them. And God said he would. Then he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I believe that to be so. Amen. I believe it was true where he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. That's the word of God. I'm glad for the precious word of God that is sure and steadfast. And you don't have to take the word of God and say, well, did God, will God do this? Or is this true? Is this right? If God said it, that settles it. And I realize some things that he says is conditional upon what we do. But when God says what he'll do, even if it's conditional, he'll do what he said he'd do if we do our part of it. Amen. And so some is unconditional. And God just says, I will do this. And he will do it. I preached on the I wills the other day. And when God says I will, he will. And I praise him for that. But I still got my mind running in this area of the word of God. In this chapter, I have many times looked at it and preached several different messages out of it, but I'm looking at something I've never looked at this way before, but I pray that God would help us as we see this in this subject. God's word is sure. In verse number one, Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, I want to get the setting for this because here Samaria is being besieged by Syria, and they're in a desperate situation. In fact is, it looks like an impossible situation. Look back in chapter number 6 and look at verse number 24. We begin reading there and we'll read a few verses and I'll not comment upon these verses very much because they are self-explanatory and listen closely to what they say. Verse 24 of chapter 6 of 2 Kings. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it. That is, they wasn't letting any food in or anybody in or anybody out. They had it surrounded, and inside the city, the king and all the people were unable to do anything about it. They simply was there besieged. They were in bondage, as it were. They were in locked in that city, and the enemy was just waiting for them, their time to run out. Notice what it said in verse number 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a donkey was thought to be an unclean animal, unfit to eat, but they were eating even the heads and selling those. And the fourth part of a cap of a dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. The waste of a dove they were selling to eat because the famine was so bad. As the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press. What he was saying was, there's nothing in the barn. There's nothing in the wine press. How am I going to help you? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And you read that verse and think about it. What a sad, sad situation. And you say, I'd never do such a thing. I don't think I would either. And we'd all say that. But when people are starving to death, they'll do a lot of things they wouldn't do otherwise. When people are have no hope and they have absolutely nothing to look forward to, and it looks like an impossible situation. Said, we boiled my son and ate him. And she promised to give her son. And said, here, and give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard these words of the woman, that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And here they see in a sad situation, the king now has realized how serious the problem is. It has gone beyond his imagination. And here a woman's crying about her son. They have eaten him, and another woman hid her son. And the famine is so great in the city, and no possible way humanly to resolve the situation. And so he puts sackcloth on and walks on the wall, and people see it and realize it's a hopeless, impossible situation as far as man is concerned. And here they are in that situation. Now comes Elisha on the scene. Hey, come by the man of God. And he comes and he says, this time tomorrow, you're going to have barley and wheat to eat. There's going to be food to eat. It's going to be in the city. It's going to be there. And here a Lord in verse number 2, and that word Lord's a little L, not a capital, not talking about the Lord God, but talking about someone in authority. That is when it says a king leaned on his hand, means somebody that was next to the king, somebody that advised the king, somebody that helped him and was high in authority. They made fun. They made light of it. And notice verse number 2. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. He said, you made fun, made light of the word of the Lord, and said, there's going to be a come a time that you'll see it, but you'll not eat of it. You'll not partake of it. It's dangerous to make light of what God says. And God said, there's going to be bread here tomorrow. God said, I'm going to feed this city tomorrow. And this person in high authority, he laughed and mocked at it. But you can rest assured that when God said, God's word is sure. And my thought today is God's word is sure. I'm looking here and I've just read out of chapter 6 how hopeless it was. I just read how desperate the people were inside the city. How far it had gone. It looked like impossible for anything to happen that would bring them out of this situation. But God said, about this time tomorrow, there'll be food. I want you to get that. And hopeless as it was, and your situation today, I don't know what kind of situation you're in. I don't know today. You may be here lost without God and know that you're going to hell without Jesus and think, I don't know what to do. God said, if you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd save you. And his word is sure. Amen. The best news that man's ever had is that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And man's situation, he does look helpless and hopeless. They sang a song and said, he's holy and I'm unworthy. That's exactly true. If I got what I deserve and you got what you deserve, you'd go to hell. I would too. But I'm glad for the mercy of God. It keeps me out of hell. I'm glad for the grace of God that takes me to heaven. I'm glad God gives me what I don't deserve. I got saved, born in the family of God, and became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if you're here lost today, I got good news for you. Got good news. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And he wants to save you. Good news. Good news. And I got good news for the rest of you. And you may be facing something in your life that you feel like it's an impossibility to ever be solved, come out for the good, be right. Just remember, God, he majors on the impossibilities. He takes things that man says can't be done. When the children of Israel got to the Red Sea and the enemy behind them, the Red Sea before them, they had absolutely no hope as far as man was concerned. But God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm glad, hallelujah, for the word of God. I'm glad for God's word that is true. And God does make a way when there is no way. He does what man can't do. I'm here to report to you today the word of God is sure. It's good. You can depend on it. Now, I want to show you some things here about this. First of all, the word of the Lord was rejected. And I just told you about that. How they mocked, made fun of it, and rejected the word of God, saying it can't be. And no way. Impossible. And so they just would not believe God. He didn't believe God. When the children of Israel got to Kadesh Barnea, and God said, I'm going to take you into Canaan, and the spies came back, 10 of them said, there's giants over there, walled cities over there, and we cannot do it. Joshua and Caleb said, as a land full of milk and honey. Got grapes. They had grapes, a bunch of grapes hung on a pole and two men carrying it. And brought back fruit from that land, said it's a good land. And God said, let's go take it. But the 10 spies said there's giants and walls. And the people got to thinking about giants and walls cities.
And they would not go in because of unbelief. They would not believe what God said. God said, I'm going to give you that land. And for 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness murmuring and complaining when they could have been in Canaan enjoying the fruit of the land, but they wouldn't believe God. I'd say about another impossibility. That man saw, man was lost, going to hell. Man didn't have any hope, no salvation, no way to get out of the condition he's in. But God came one day to a virgin and said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. I'm glad people had read that and thought and laughed about it, but it happened. And it came to pass that a virgin did conceive and bear a son, called his name Jesus, because he saved his people from their sin. And so there came an answer to that. I say, praise God. Here it is. It looks like humanly impossibility, but unbelief, and they didn't believe it, made fun of it, laughed at it. Fact is, I got thinking about this and studying on it and thinking, these four lepers now, hear that the word of God's going to be tested. But those four lepers outside that city, I don't believe they knew anything about what Elisha said because of their actions and what they said. And I'm not going to take time to read it, but in verse 3, it talking about these four lepers outside the city. It was outside the walls and lepers, and so they couldn't go in the city. And they've been getting scraps coming over this wall. And there wasn't any scraps coming because they didn't have any scraps. They were eating scraps. They were trying to eat anything to get a hold of inside the city. And so the four lepers outside the city, I don't believe anybody in the city hollered over the wall and said, hey, it's time tomorrow, we're going to have food. They didn't know they were going to have food. They wouldn't have made the decision they made. God didn't let them know that. They was outside. Here's what they did say, though. They said, if we sit where we sit, we're going to die. We don't have anything to eat, we're dying. And if we go in the city, they don't have anything to eat, and we die if we go in there. Let's fall into the hands of Syrians, and if we die, we but die. It may be they give us some food and let us live. And so they made a decision to go to the Syrians, and they did that. And as they went to the Syrian camp, and let me just plug in right here something. I plug in something every once in a while. But if you're lost and you say, well, I'm not so bad. What do I have to do to commit a sin to go to hell? You can't do anything. Just sit where you sit. Just stay where you are. And you can be lost without God. If you go to some religious something somewhere, and like a city, and try to find some help somewhere outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll still be lost without God. If you try everything the world's got to offer, you'll still be lost without God. And today, people in America make a big thing about this idol thing and all that kind of stuff, and a big thing about worldly stuff. Hey, none of that'll help you. Only thing that's going to help you is Jesus Christ and coming to know Him as your Lord and Savior. That's the only thing that'll help you. And I believe that with all my heart. Amen. And so you're in that condition. If you sit where you sit, you're going to be lost without God. If you try something outside of Christ, you're going to be lost without God. You say, but preacher, in the other religions, all right. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come unto the Father but by me. Ain't not but one way to heaven, and Jesus Christ is the way. It doesn't make any difference what man said about it. It doesn't make any difference what man thinks about it. It's what God said about it. I'm trying to tell you the word of God's sure. The word of God is sure, and you can rest assured of it. And so the lepers went down there, and here the word of God's being tested, and he said, this time tomorrow, we're going to find out about the food. They got down there, and lo and behold, everybody gone. Whole army gone. And God had let them hear a sound. I like that. God did it. Look at verse number 6. For the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear of a noise of chariots and a noise of horses. I mean, they heard something nobody else was hearing, but they heard it. And they heard that sound, and they horses and chariots. Only God could do that. But God can do what God wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it. Can you imagine, here's a whole army, and they're in camp, they're just waiting for the city to give up and come out, and all of a sudden they hear horses and chariots, and there's not any around them, but they think they are. They think they've hired the Egyptians and the Hittites to come against them. And you say, my situation's impossible. Well, what about God? What do you think God can do about it? Well, I don't see God can do anything. Inside that city, they did not think about them hearing the sound of horses nor chariots, because they didn't know any horses or chariots was coming. And fact is, there was no horses or chariots. They did not have that, but they heard. The enemy heard that. And when they heard that, they ran. They ran. They left horses. They left food. They left pots. They left all the garments. They left everything they had. They ran for their lives. Why? Because God came on the scene. And God had them to hear something. And God moved upon them. And they couldn't help it. They just heard it. And they ran. God did that. Now notice that in verse number 8. Here God's proving his word. And when these lepers came, the uttermost part of the camp, they went in one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment. Boy, they was having a time. Went and hid it, came again, entered another tent, carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is the day of good tidings. We hold our peace. Said we tired of daylight, something bad going to happen to us. Now, they think about back in the city, people starving to death. Here we are eating food and drinking. Of course, there's another message. We that are saved, we're enjoying salvation. We ought to be sharing it. Amen. Because others are waiting somewhere. They don't know this food. They don't know how to get saved. They don't know his help. These people lost without God don't know. Somebody got some, they could tell me. They could help me. They got what we need if they'd only come and tell us. And so they're in that place, and that's another message for another time. But here they are, and they finding all that. They come back, and they tell the porters at the city that the Syrians are gone. Now here's the part I want you to get. God's true to his word. God does what he says he'll do. Look at verse number 12. And the king arose in the night, and when he got word about what was happening, and he said, I'll show you. I won't take time to read that, but I'll try to put my words here. He said, I'll show you what they're doing to us. King of Syria, now they're hiding out there. The army's hiding. And they're waiting for us to come out. And then, isn't that just like us when God begins to move? We start looking for the negative part of it and saying it won't really work. Ain't something God, ain't something we're not seeing here. Ain't something. And they said, there's a setup somewhere on this thing, and we're not going to respond to this. We're going to stay right here. But notice something else here. In verse number 13, and one of his servants answered and said, now that one back in verse number 2, that authority, he wouldn't believe and he mocked and made fun of. And he got, when you don't believe God, you affect somebody else. And the city that night ought to have been rejoicing because they're going to get food. God said, from God's man, God's word said, there'd be food here tomorrow. And they in the city, when they came and said that the Syrians were gone, there's food out there, they didn't even believe it. And God's man had already said, the word of God had already been presented, and they would not believe. Is that just not like us? God has already said, God has already made it plain, God has already told us all about it, and yet we will not believe God. God said he would take care of us, by the way. And he said he would save the unsaved. They wouldn't believe it. But this one servant, verse 13, he said, let some take, I pray thee, of the five of the horses that remain. But notice verse number 14, then they took therefore two chariot horses. They thought they'd keep three of them, might want to barbecue them. They still didn't believe. But said, maybe we ought to check it out. Maybe we ought to just go check it out. Let me say to you today, maybe you ought to just check out what God said. Maybe y'all just put God to the test. Maybe y'all just find out and prove God. See if God's real. See if God will do what he said he'd do. Why don't you just put God to the trial here and let him prove himself. His word will be fulfilled. So verse 14, they took two chariot horses and they went to go see. They went after them and under Jordan and lo, all the way full of garments and vessels and Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messenger returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel. and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned, that same man that mocked, made fun, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, and he spake, and who spake when the king came down to him. The man of God had said, there's going to be food here tomorrow about this time. And the man of authority that laughed and mocked at it, he said, you're going to see it, but you'll not eat of it. You'll not even partake of it. You won't even get a bite of it. And sure enough, the next day, when they finally went out there and finally tried to find out, and they did go and they found out that God was right. God had said there'd be food. There was food. And they did get food. And the people trod down the man in the gate, and he died and never even tasted the food. I say to you, what a sad situation. What a sad commentary upon that man, because he would not believe God. I want to say today it's a sad situation, a sad day when we won't believe God and take God at his word. And some of you sitting here today, you have situations in your life that you don't know what to do, how to respond, and how to act on it. Why don't you just turn it all over to God and say, God, here it is, and let God take care of God, help you. Amen. And God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You say, it's my situation is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Amen. If it's right and true and ought to be done, God can do it. I say to you, hallelujah. I'm not preaching a hopeless gospel. I'm not preaching a hopeless word. I got good news for you this morning. The word of God is true. God will do what he said. God said, I will go with you. I will help you. I will sustain you. I'll never leave you. Hey, praise God. He said, I'll save you if you'll come. What's the word of God for us today? Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. Let's believe what God said. Repent and not perish. And then we that are saved, trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Just believe what God said. Take God at his word. God's word is true. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the word of God. Here's a situation in the word of God that was hopeless. Man, it was impossible. But Lord, you said in your word, you said, but your man, and sent the word of God to say that they be bread. And Father, on that day, there was bread, just like you said. Not only the bread was there, but the man that you said would not even taste of it didn't even taste of it. Father, help us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Help us to bring our situations. You said, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let us in our desperation see ourselves, and let us respond as you'd say in your word for us to do. Father, I pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand to your feet.